I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. I am in here to provide a safe space for the independent thinkers out there and the fighters out there. We have certainly entered a phase in the past 18 months of resistance. I'm actually wearing a baseball cap, trying to break it in. Steven Utroska brought me the other day. It says, I respectfully dissent on this hat. And I don't know what it is at this radio station. I'm in good company. We're kind of the dissent network here, across the spectrum of hosts here, of people that are not going along with the program. So anyway, I appreciate you joining me. We're going to get started today. Next hour, we'll do False Flag Friday. We'll end up with all my clips and synopsis of the news of the bizarro world we're living in on This Week on the Crazy Train. But we're going to crank up this hour talking with Mary Jo Perry. We got rallies going on this weekend, several of them, including something that's going on Saturday night about critical race theory. But Mary Jo Perry is with Mississippi Parents for Vaccine Rights, and they've got a rally starting tomorrow morning. So, Mary Jo, thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me. We are so excited.
Yeah, you should be. It's gotten a lot of buzz, I'll tell you that.
UL, we think we're having about 1,000 people. We've the last couple of rallies that we've done kind of reserve and be counted tickets just to get a head count. And we've moved well over 1,000 for this rally. And typically there are a lot of people that have no idea, you know, that we're doing head count tickets. So it's going to be something else this morning in the morning to see how many people actually show up.
Yeah, that's great. And you're expecting good weather and everything too, aren't you?
It's going to be beautiful.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Sunny and in the 80s.
Y'all have done some good rallies. I've been down there for a couple of things that you've done on the steps of the Capitol. Somebody sent me a video from the one you did with the empty strollers. Oh my gosh,
yeah.
I can't believe I missed that. That was incredibly powerful. And the video that was put out on it about was really, really powerful.
It was. So that was Lindy's son, Ben. Lindy is my partner in crime. We've been working at this together for 10 years, and she's got a son, Ben, who is, Ben McGee, who is incredibly talented. And we already knew he was talented, but he really, you know, sort of came into his own when he created that video. It's, and the more you watch it, the more you see in it.
Yeah, that's probably a good point. I probably should check it out again.
It was moving. So creative.
Yeah, it was very good. Well, tell us a little bit about what the purpose of the rally, the time, the details, all that good stuff.
Sure. So we're going to kick off in the morning with a walk around the Capitol and prayer. And as we come back around, we'll have live music. We've got LaShawna Peppers coming to sing a few songs for us, and we're going to do maybe a couple of hymns. And my son Chad, who gigs around the Jackson metro area, he's going to be kind of background playing live music during the day. And let's see, we're going to have Andy Gibson is going to speak for us. He's going to be our first speaker in the morning. We're going to be having picnic. Vance Cox, who is our treasurer, he's going to be making pulled pork sandwiches, hot dogs. We've got chips, a bake sale, plenty of water. But we also encourage people, you know, to pack some snacks and some drinks and, you know, be prepared, because the state fair is going on down High Street, and it's going to be really difficult to just leave a minute and run down High Street and get something to eat.
Right. Yeah, this should good weather. It should be like an outing. People should treat it almost like a picnic. Come on out.
Absolutely.
And, you know,
that's right. We're telling everybody, bring your lawn chairs and your blankets. And, you know, if you have a pop-up awning, we're going to have designated areas for people to set those up. We got inflatables for the kids. And we also have gotten permission to use the big parking garage there off the Sillars building. And so, you know, we're pretty excited to have access to that.
Yeah. And but, I'll just say, you know, anybody who's wondering if they should go down, this is going to be a great event. I think the cause is great. And I want to talk about that next. But you will meet some great people. You know, when you get into groups like this, if you are, I mean, if you are like-minded, you're going to realize, because a lot of us sometimes, if you don't communicate with groups like this, you really feel like you're alone. You can look at the news and just think that you're going insane, that you don't understand what's going on, and that, you know, you're surrounded by friends and family that you love, but they just don't see what you see. You need to congregate with people like this. I think being around that energy really even emboldens people who are, you know, who are like-minded, that just are feel isolated, because the past 18 months, you know, I've been shocked at the number of my friends who really just don't see any problems going on right now. They're just, you know, going along with the program. And thank God I've found a big group of people that are not okay with this, and it's empowering and it's fun. There really are great people.
I totally agree. Our events are always family friendly. There's always lots of children. You know, typically mamas and daddies. But this year, we're having a huge influx, of course, of healthcare professionals.
Great.
And we're going to have a healthcare heroes tent set up. And those who, you know, doctors and nurses who want to stand up against this, which is a very bold stand to take.
Right.
Considering their position. But I think it's also a necessary stand to take. We encourage them to wear scrubs, or even bring your lab jacket to put on for a brief demonstration at the end of the rally. We're going to have our healthcare be present up at the front of the stage as our keynote speaker, Dell Bigtree of the High Wire, delivers his message. And Dell is always so good. I don't know how many of your listeners are listening to Highwire. I know it's exploded recently. They have 1.7 million viewers every Thursday.
Wow.
On their website, thehighwire.com. But Dell was an Emmy Award-winning producer on the daytime talk show The Doctor. So medical journalism is his thing, and he has pursued this issue, and he has the best scientists and the best news regarding, you know, medical freedom and, you know, vaccines for adults and children alike. And I've never seen him have bad information. I try to be really careful about vetting things, because there's a lot of crazy stuff out there.
You have to be.
He presents some really, we've got doctors who are coming just because Dell's going to be there. So he's definitely worth listening to. And anyone can go back to thehighwire.com and listen to past episodes as well. But, so he's going to be our keynote speaker, and we're going to have our doctors and nurses up there standing with him.
Okay, well, tell us, I guess we probably should have done this up front for anybody who's listening who may not be familiar with this. You know, sometimes when you live in this world, you assume, oh, everybody knows about this, because just about everybody that I know knows about this. But what exactly is the purpose of the rally tomorrow?
I'm sorry. Okay, yes. So the purpose of the rally is for people to come together and stand up and present a united voice against the medical tyranny that's coming down from the federal government. Those of us who have been in this fight for medical freedom for several years have been sort of seeing this coming and have warned about it. This is that bad dream that's coming true, and it's kind of a pinch me moment for me, because I guess I didn't think it was going to come this soon.
Well, look, but, you know, I'm a libertarian, and I did a show about this a few days ago, and I said, you know, all of these things that libertarians have been warning about and screaming about and telling people not to, you know, what it would lead to, the slippery slope and all of these things, you know, seeing them come true is not really comforting, but it is, you know, it's drawing more people to understand that we weren't exaggerating. We weren't just trying to get attention, that these things are serious. And your issue all along has been focused primarily on the childhood vaccination schedule and the mandating of vaccines for kids to attend school, right?
That's right. And you know, what many parents don't really give a whole lot of thought to is that when we bring our children, let's say you bring your little tiny 6 to 8 week old baby to the pediatrician, they're getting an injection in each limb. But what they don't always think about is the fact that those are combo shots. and that our babies would have to be an octopus to take actually everything that they're getting if it wasn't all combined. And it's routine for an infant to get 8 or 9, you know, vaccines in one visit. It's just that they're, you know, they're, some of them are coming through the same needle. And we've been knowing that it was going to take a needle pointed at adults before people woke up.
Yeah.
And, you know, and watching, you know, watching the documentation at you know, government website like HHS, initiatives like Healthy People 2020, we saw the writing on the wall and we knew it was coming. And we knew that when the vaccine was pointed at adults, that it was going to hit the fan. And so here we are. It's a very painful I told you so, but we welcome everyone who has not been in the fight before now with open arms. You know, we all had that point that we said, oh, wait a second. This is not okay. And, you know, we all have that place where we draw a line in the sand. And that's why we've got support from people who have had the vaccine, because it's not really about are we for or against a vaccine. It's about the right of an individual to determine what goes beyond their very skin.
Yeah.
And the skin of their children. And the federal government is going to continue creeping and continue infringing until the people stand up and say no. And so that's what, you know, that's what we're about. And with our childhood vaccines, you know, we started all this because Mississippi, and we're used to it, so we don't realize that other states don't have the draconian vaccine laws that Mississippi has. Mississippi has horrendous draconian vaccine laws for our children, and they brag about, you know, Mississippi's not first in anything, but we're first in childhood vaccine coverage rate.
Yeah.
But that's because they throw little children under the bus who are vaccine vulnerable and can't tolerate a vaccine. It doesn't matter. No exemption for you. No exemption for the family who has prayed about it and has a check in their spirit about the current schedule and wants to slow it down or selectively vaccinate or maybe not do the vaccines that are cultured on the cell lines of aborted babies. Mississippians don't have the rights that Louisiana, Arkansas, Tennessee, excuse me, Alabama, and all the other southern states, you know, in the Bible Belt have. There are only 4 or 5 states that you know, that have restrictive vaccine laws, but ours are the worst.
Well, you know, something that I covered a few days ago that was really a little surprising to me, just because I'd never really researched it. I looked at the Bloomberg World Health Index, and the United States, I believe, is 35th, 34th, or 35th on the World Health Index. And
right.
I compared that up against, there are most of the countries that are ahead of us in health do not have mandatory vaccines for their kids to go to school or for adults at all. So,
hey, in the UK, the teachers, the schools can't even ask a child what vaccines they've had.
Yeah.
It's none of their business.
And
in Japan, they don't vaccinate their babies till they're 2 years old.
And the thing is with all of these, most of the countries have a recommended range, which is fine. Nobody argues with any doctor or medical establishment that wants to give recommendations or advice. That's fine. And then it should be left to us to choose. But when you stop and look at all these other countries that are doing better than us in health, that do not mandate vaccines for their adults or for their children, and you realize we're not seeing stories of children dying of the measles in all of these other countries. They have better health outcomes than we have.
100%. And Japan is the country that I always love to look at, because Japan is the world luminary in pediatric health. They have the lowest infant mortality rate in the entire world. And that's the position that they maintain year after year. And then we have Mississippi that has the highest infant mortality rate in the developed world. Very, you know, pretty much like what you would see in a third world country.
Yeah.
And yet we're not looking at what these other countries are doing that's keeping their children healthy, because we've allowed the medical industry here to scare us into thinking that we have to give our children 72 doses throughout childhood, which is what they recommend now, in order for our children to live and thrive in a first world country with clean running water, sanitation, plumbing, you know, access to health care. They think that they want us to think that we have to have that for our children in order for them to survive. But the fact is that Japan doesn't vaccinate their children. On average, it's like 23 months they get their first shot.
Yeah.
Of any kind.
Right.
And then their measles, mumps, rubella shot is not a 3-in-1. you can get just the measles shot, and they're not cultured on the cell lines of aborted babies, so their shots don't have DNA fragments from male and female aborted babies.
Yeah, I mean,
that are
yeah.
being injected into their children.
Yeah, I think that's important to understand around the world. Mary Jo, we got to take a break, but can you hold on for another
sure.
segment for me?
Absolutely.
Okay, great, because there's a couple other things I wanted to cover with you.
Sure.
We're talking to Mary Jo Perry, Mississippi Parents for Vaccine Rights, about their rally tomorrow from 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock downtown. We'll give you more details on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
I went home with a waitress the way I always do. How was I?
All right, we are back, and we're talking to Mary Jo Perry with Mississippi Parents for Vaccine Rights. Mary Jo, you've been fighting this battle on this the mandatory vaccines for children going to school. I have one question. You know, you've seen for a long time parents have been really accepting. They bought into the fear-mongering from everything from our legislature to our medical establishment telling us if we did not give these kids every single one of these shots that they were a danger to every student around them. And so a lot of parents just took that as gospel truth, and they even supported these mandates thinking that, you know, they didn't want their precious cargo at school exposed to some other kid who didn't have all the shots. Are you finding any people who are realizing that because of this issue with the COVID vaccine mandates that are going around, that maybe they were wrong about that? They realized that they were fear-mongered too, and that maybe it wasn't right to force other parents to do something, you know, because you were worried about your child. Are you seeing any minds changed?
I think it's interesting that I started getting messages from people I didn't know informing me that that we can't sue if our children are injured or killed by a vaccine.
Yeah, they didn't know.
And where the vaccine adverse events reporting system is and what it does. And I think it's increased awareness all the way around about this agenda to, you know, for a cradle to grave mandatory vaccine agenda with no liability.
Right.
People are starting, you know, it's kind of like they woke a sleeping giant.
Right.
And, you know, while it's exciting, it's also a very sad moment.
Well, you know, it may be a lot like everything else, you know, life and particularly politics and culture. There's a lot of pendulum swinging. And what may have happened is while this thing has been trending in the wrong direction for those of us who want personal choice, particularly control over our own children's bodies, and our own bodies, you know, that's been pushed so far now that it may have gotten to the other side and it is starting to swing back. You know, sometimes it takes patience to get there, and it's frustrating and sad to see the victims along the way, but they may have pushed too far now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's what greed and greed for power does, is they get blind by their ruthless agenda, and they push too far, and, you know, it becomes obvious.
Yeah.
So that's where we are.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's really unfortunate is that so many people already have the same beliefs that we do about this. But because of the power of the media and, you know, because of the power of AstroTurf, which I encourage everyone to look that up. Cheryl Atkinson has an excellent TED Talk on AstroTurf. We've been made to believe that we're the minority, and we are not.
Right.
We are not. Even these doctors, there are doctors who are pushing the vaccine, and then, you know, when they pass nurses in the hall with a mask on because they didn't take it, they'll wink at them and tell them that, you know, you don't have to wear that mask. What they're telling them with a wink and telling them they don't have to wear it is that someone will shoot it in the garbage for them. There are a lot of them that are not taking it that are saying that they are.
Interesting.
And the big push at the hospitals and clinics is that the federal government is threatening removing Medicaid and Medicare funding.
Oh,
and
that's so
and
gross.
And then they've also gotten a lot of COVID relief money as well.
Right.
And Mississippi has like the highest mean amount per clinic than any other state in the country.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of money behind this as well.
Right. Well,
obviously, it's us that, you know, it's you and I that are paying, the taxpayers that are paying for it, which is infuriating.
Well, I'm glad to hear there's...
the bottom line is we have to say no.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear there's going to be some medical people out there tomorrow, and hopefully, you know, they inspire more people. There are so many good doctors and stuff out there, but I tell you what, you know, I'm not somebody who tells somebody you should give up your $300,000 a year job for my cause or anything like that. But, you know, if you're a healthcare professional and you don't believe in this and you know that some of your patients are being harmed, you got to stand up. I mean, it's just you may be the only people that can really save us unless the trial attorneys come through for us. Hey, I wanted to play one quick clip here. This is Scott Gottlieb. He is a former FDA commissioner. Now he is a board member of Pfizer. Surprise, surprise. And they were talking to him on CBS. You know, he's going across the mainstream media talking about how important these shots are. And I think this is something that parents need to understand, that this is not a battle about today or tomorrow with these COVID vaccines. If you're concerned with your children, and you know right now they're not approved for children under 12, that is certainly coming. They're already doing the testing, but that they are planning on rolling this thing out on our kids as a adding it to the vaccine schedule. So I want to play this clip real quick and just get you to weigh in on it.
Should the vaccine be a requirement like other vaccines are for children to go to school?
Yeah, look, some states and local districts are going to make the decision to mandate vaccination right now. California's obviously done that. I think that it's likely that this vaccine will eventually get incorporated into the childhood immunization schedule, but I don't think it's going to happen certainly this year. I think it's probably something that maybe will be considered in the fall of 2021, winter 2022, the next school year.
So there you go. So, you know, this thing is not, I mean, parents who think that, well, I'll just won't get my child vaccinated right now. This may be a requirement to get to school, and it's why it's important to attend the rally tomorrow and weigh in with our legislature here and get on the record with opposing this thing.
Totally agree. And I can tell you that Thomas Dobbs, who is our state health officer, is licking his chops to get this on the childhood schedule.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This, and he also, I've met with him personally in the past couple of years, and he was very upfront with me, and his words to me were, he is a fan of the HPV Gardasil vaccine. That was not currently mandated for our children in middle school, but as soon as he gets a quiet minute where he doesn't think he's going to get too much backlash, he's going to add that to the schedule. And that's one of the bad things about Mississippi's vaccine laws that we've been trying to bring balance to, is that we have given our state health officer far too much power through the years. In the past, when we had a Democrat legislature for all the decades before, the health department has had its way, and they had been given so much power that our health officer can pencil in a vaccine overnight into our childhood schedule.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't have to be voted on by the legislature. It doesn't matter if every mom and dad in Mississippi is against it. He has that much power. And all we want to do, you know, it's gotten back to me that Philip Gunn, our Speaker of the House, Philip Gunn, has said that we're fanatics. No, he's the fanatic. Mississippi's bureaucrats are vaccine fanatics. Philip Gunn is a vaccine fanatic. All we want to do is bring balance to our laws. This is not about pro-vaccine, anti-vaccine, and pigeonholing and labeling people. This is about the future of our country and of our state, and it's about our freedom. And, you know, we're supposed to be the freest country in the world, but like I said, the UK, Great Britain, where we fled from for freedom, they've got freedoms there that we don't have here in the United States, that we don't have in Mississippi. All we want to do is bring balance to that, and we would like the same laws that Louisiana, Arkansas, Tennessee, Alabama, all the states in the Bible Belt, and collectively 45 other states in the nation have. And I don't think that that's a crazy ask.
No.
And I don't know why I have spent 10 years trying to get that. But the beautiful thing is, and tragic at the same time, is that we have been growing slowly through the years. It takes money to get the word out. A lot of people still think they're alone and they don't know we exist. But with these COVID mandates, just since July, our organization has doubled. And it's doubled with mostly nurses and doctors and healthcare.
Great. That's and a so, great direction to head in. Yeah, well, tell us, we've only got a few minutes left. We could tell us, give us the details exactly where this thing is, if people need to sign up online, if things show up. Just give us all the details for tomorrow so people know what's going on.
Sure. So we're starting early check-in at 9:30. The event is taking place at the Sillars Pedestrian Mall, which is an outdoor grassy lawn that sits between, it's on the north side of the Capitol, and it sits between the Supreme Court building on High Street and the Sillars office building, which is where the governor's office is. Just, it's a big, beautiful grassy hill. The backdrop is going to be the Capitol. It's going to be a beautiful day. We're having a prayer walk. We're picnicking, bring lawn chairs, you know, coolers, blankets, children. We're going to have inflatables for the kids. There's going to be snacks, sandwiches. We're having pulled pork sandwiches, hot dogs for sale, and lots of live music and speakers throughout the day and a lot of fun and fellowship. We invite everyone to come. We don't require any tickets, but we encourage people to register to be counted because, you know, the media and our legislators try to minimize us, so we always love to try to get a head count. If you would like to be counted, you can go to rallyformedicalfreedom.com, and there's a button at the top of the page that will allow you to register. You can just, you know, enter, you know, your name and how many people you're bringing so that we kind of have an idea. So, we also have two other tickets, and I'd have to go and look because everything's been selling so fast, but we usually do swag bags that have branded, branded merchandise in them, and those are for sale with a ticket. So there's like an I'll be there and counted, I'll be there with a bumper sticker and a pop socket, and I'll be there with swag. And so, those are always really, really popular. And, like I said, our keynote speaker is Del Bigtree of thehighwire.com.
When will he be speaking?
He's going to be our last speaker. He's going to start around 2:30.
Okay. All right.
So, and then we'll wrap it up by 4:00. So, we're really, really, really excited about it. It's going to be historic. And I've not seen a whole lot of people showing up at our Capitol for very much in Mississippi, but it looks like, like a sleeping giant's been woke up,
right.
And we're expecting well over 1,000 people.
Yeah. Well, like you said, you've been at it for 10 years. I know that gets frustrating when you don't see the support and you can't reach as many people as you want to reach, but they may have forced the issue so much right into your loving arms. I guess we'll take it if that's what it takes.
So,
but
yeah, it's been 10 years. But, Mike, the thing, you know, this is not an issue I chose. It chose me. And I'm convicted that I've been commissioned by God to do this. So I've not spent a whole lot of time looking around me to see how many people are listening. I just do my job and let the Lord take care of the rest. It's been a long 10 years.
Yeah.
And you know, it's time for us to start unseating some of these medical tyrants who claim to be conservative Republicans,
right?
But they're actually running as Republicans, but they're rhinos. And so we need to get them out of office. The best way to do that is to fund a PAC so that we can start putting money behind good medical freedom candidates. And that's what that's the purpose of our PAC, and that's going to be our focus for the next couple of years leading up to the next election.
Yeah. Okay. Well, great. Well, Mary Jo, I will certainly be down there. I think darn near every host that's on this station, I believe, may be down there. So we'll be down there with you.
I love y'all there at YAB and appreciate your support so, so much.
Well, we appreciate your organization. We think you're doing the right thing. It's time for everybody to get into the fight, and we're certainly not going to let other people do it while we sit back and watch. So anyway, that's Mary Jo Perry,
yes,
Mississippi Parents for Vaccine Rights, 10 to 4 tomorrow down at the Sillars building. If you're planning on going out to lunch or you just want to go enjoy the day, then head down there. That's where you need to do it. So Mary Jo, thanks so much. And if you would, hold on a second. I want to talk to you off air.
Okay, thank you.
All right, got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Always good to have Mary Jo Perry on. That's going to be a great event tomorrow. I'm excited about it. I'm so thrilled they got good weather. You know, when I saw this was happening and I realized there's more enthusiasm for people kind of fighting for their freedom across any of the mandates we're seeing, any of the lockdowns that have crushed businesses. I mean, people are definitely getting more mobilized now. I knew this had the potential to be something great, and I'm thrilled to know that the weather's going to work out for them. The speakers are working out for them. So, again, that's Mary Jo Perry with Mississippi Parents for Vaccine Rights. They'll be down there 10 to 4 tomorrow downtown, and this is the time to show your face, to let legislators know that, you know, a crowd will gather. We've seen a lot of countries around the world that have had some real draconian stuff pulled on them, and it just got worse and worse and worse and worse until the last few months. Where whether it's Great Britain or Australia, Italy had a time that they did these things. Now even Israel, now that the Israelis have realized they're on the booster treadmill, they were told they'd be given the green pass, the keys to the kingdom. Their lives would return if they just took the shot. And now they're saying, oh, your past 6 months, we're turning your green card red until you get a shot. Even the Israelis now are taking to the streets. It's time in America that people who are fighting for freedom take for the streets. We've seen a lot of different causes out there controlling the streets and burning down small businesses. It's time for the people, the productive members of society. I know you just want to watch football. I know you got work. I know you've got other things to do. You got to run around. You got to find new soccer cleats. Believe me, I know. We know what that kind of middle class productive life is. It's hectic. But sometimes it is time to stop and pause and realize that some things are worth showing up for. And these rallies are worth showing up for. I'll be right back.
Yeah. It's been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me.
Hey everybody, quick little inserted message here. First, I want to thank everybody for listening to this show on podcast. I really appreciate your support of doing that. I know a lot of people have said they're sharing the podcast, and that means a lot to me as well. So thank you so much for that. I've had a lot of people ask how they can support the show. Most importantly, please support the advertisers on WYAB that make the show possible in the first place. And if you or somebody that you know wants to advertise, wants to market a business, please have them reach out to me at MikeMadison@WYAB.com or call into the station. We are extremely dedicated to our advertisers. They get a great return on investment, and they make this station and this show possible. So please do that. For those of you who want to support the show directly, I've had requests for that. I've set up a site, a kind of a crowdfunding site that you can contribute whatever amount, doesn't matter, whatever you value, think the show brings to you. You can go to ko-fi.com/TheMikeMadisonShow, and that's ko-fi.com/TheMikeMadisonShow. I'd like to be able to expand access to some of the source material for the show so people can get the research that I do and share it with people. I get a lot of requests each day for clips or links of my source material. This might allow me to build a web page and start being able to share those things so I can direct people to those basically at any time. They don't even have to contact me. So any support that you give to the show will be used for things like that. Again, to donate, you can go to ko-fi.com. That's ko-fi.com/TheMikeMadisonShow and just contribute whatever you think it's worth, whatever value it's brought, or continue to just listen to the show for free. I'm just thrilled to have you on board in the first place. So whether it's supporting our advertisers, becoming an advertiser yourself, or sharing this with somebody who might want to advertise on WYAB, or supporting the show directly, I thank you a lot. And last request, while I'm being kind of needy, if you like the show, if you would, take a minute to rate it on your podcast app and write a small review if you feel moved to do so, but a rating will certainly help. I'm not good with self-marketing and social media type stuff, as many of you know, but they say that will help in rankings and help the show reach more people. So if you can rate it or write a review and or both, it would be much appreciated. Thanks so much for listening to the show. Back to it now. All right, we got about 8 minutes left in this hour. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. If you want to call in, I had some calls during Mary Jo while she was on here. I'm sorry I didn't take them. I just wanted to let Mary Jo tell us what the cause is about, you know, where they're going to be, get the details of that stuff. I'm not great at callers when I've got a guest because sometimes we just eat into time, and I never want to just cut somebody off. I find that rude. It's probably which you have to do in talk radio, but I'm such a nice guy. I find it hard to do. So if you've got questions or want to weigh in on the rally that's going on, please let us know. There's also going to be a rally at Tri-County Academy tomorrow night starting at 7 o'clock with Duke Pesta talking about critical race theory and how it's coming into the schools. If you want to resist that, they're going to arm you with some information on how to identify it if it's in your schools, because they won't come out and tell you. Hey, moms, dads, tomorrow's critical race theory day. We're cranking up the program. They won't do that. It will come in, like everything else, as a thief in the night. So that'll be 7 o'clock tomorrow in the gymnasium or outdoors at Tri-County Academy. I tell you, when it comes to, you know, the stuff tomorrow, the rally tomorrow is about vaccine mandates, mask mandates. It's health freedom. So funny that that's a controversial topic, isn't it? We have gotten in our society now where the radicals are the people who just want to be left alone, not trying to impose their will on anybody, just want to be able to make their own personal choices. That is now radicalized. I don't know how you can possibly have done that without a disease. You know what I mean? Because it had to be something. It had to be something that could be sold as, if other people don't go along, they're a threat to you. More about that in this week on The Crazy Train, as Joe Biden gives a speech where he doesn't understand that the vaccinated can both catch COVID and spread it. I guess nobody's told him that, or they didn't tell his speechwriter. Or they're just ignoring it to just lie. I guess that's probably the most likely scenario. But the hits just keep on coming. As it turns out, all of the scientists and doctors who insisted that Merck's revolutionary COVID drug, molnupiravir, such a terrible name for a drug. I think it's Latin for screw the taxpayer. But this drug, the doctors insisted, is extremely safe. They weren't faithfully adhering to the science after all, because according to a report published Thursday by Barron's, some scientists are worried that the drug, which purportedly cut hospitalizations in half during a study that was cut short, they're finding out that this drug could cause cancer or birth defects. And this is the drug that they want to replace, or, you know, they tried to sideline ivermectin, the cheap, effective, widely used, very safe pharmaceutical. They've pushed that aside, tried to hold it under the water until it drowned so they could make way for this new abomination of a pill that they are going to mark up 40 times, $700 for a course of treatment rather than the $12 for ivermectin. And now scientists are sounding a little bit of an alarm bell saying, oh, yeah, we thought we might mention could cause cancer or birth defects. Of course, Dr. Scott Gottlieb, again, the Pfizer CEO, people always ask, you know, what would you want your superpower to be? I got to admit, I'd like to be able to fly. I have flying dreams. Somebody, maybe you can research that, tell me what that means. But I have dreams where I fly. It's very frustrating, though. I have to pedal my legs like I'm on a bike. I don't just get that laid-back Superman stretch-out, fly-wherever-you-want stuff. I have to really work to get into the air, and when I'm in the air, I have to pedal like hell. I have suspicions on what that means psychologically, but that's how it goes. But I actually believe the superpower I'd like to have is omnipotence, that I would know everything. Because I would love to know what the relationship between all of these pharmaceutical companies has been over the past 18 months. Because you've got the Pfizer CEO out there hawking a Merck drug right now. My guesstimation would be that Pfizer pretty much said, look, we're going to go out there. We're going to get the billions, the hundreds of billions of dollars from the vaccine program. And then we'll step aside, or we'll allow you to enter with your new drug. If you will, you know, Pfizer tells Merck, what we need you to do is we need you to crap all over your own pill, ivermectin. Okay, you're not making a whole lot of money off of it anyway. It's dirt cheap. But if you will tell everybody not to take that so they'll take our shot, then we will go out there and pump your new pill. I did the story, I think, yesterday, where they'll make billions of dollars off this pill. We'll tell people to go ahead and take this pill that you have. There has got to be some level of collusion here. You do not normally see the Pfizer board member, Scott Gottlieb, former Trump FDA head, You don't normally see a Pfizer board member going out and hawking a Merck product. And I'm sure Merck probably said back to Pfizer, well, if your vaccine works, they're not going to need our pill. This isn't fair. Y'all are going to get all the vaccine sales. You're going to cure COVID. They're not going to need anything from us. And Pfizer said, oh, don't worry about that. This vaccine doesn't work. People are still going to get COVID. They're still going to spread COVID. There's plenty of this money to go around. They'll still need your pill. Oh, okay, the vaccine doesn't work, so our pill will still be marketable. Oh, sure, sure. There's enough fat on this hog for all of us. Well, just like the air quotes here in the studio, safe and effective vaccine, it's turning out that this new Merck pill, which they will be granted emergency use authorization for, could cause birth defects or cancer. This story goes down into the mechanism. Apparently, this drug gets in and it enters the virus and causes it. It enters into the DNA of the virus and causes it to just start rapidly mutating until it dies. And the fear is from these scientists, they go, you know, if it gets into our cells, causes our own normal body cells to start rapidly mutating, that's something that we like to call cancer. And of course, this drug will have no long-term safety studies, exactly like the vaccine. They'll just tell you, safe and effective, go out and get the new Merck pill. I'll tell you what, my health show, I think I'm going to have whole new areas to cover on my health show in 2 or 3 years as we start to see the emergence of new chronic conditions and autoimmune diseases. But I got to tell you, my show is based around nutrition, healing, typical chronic diseases. What these vaccines and this new Merck pill roll out, I don't know there's going to be a nutritional solution to it. You start messing with your DNA. You can use nutrition to get support to your liver and support to your kidneys and make your brain work better and make your skin look better. Giving your body what it needs in a normally functioning body is how you get well. It's how you beat chronic disease. Once you start tinkering around with your RNA and your DNA, I got to tell you, I don't know nutrition fixes that. This is rewriting the software of your body. I have not seen nutrition that can reverse DNA damage. And this is the kind of things, the fact that they are rolling this stuff out on us and forcing it. I mean, how long they're going to force shots on everybody? How many employees out there are going to be forced to take this Merck pill? Oh, you tested positive for COVID, but I got the shot. I know, but you got COVID anyway. We told you, you might have a breakthrough case, but now you've been identified as a breakthrough case. You have to take the Merck pill to beat it, or our insurance won't cover it. And if our insurance won't cover it, you're a liability to my corporation. I'm going to have to fire you. You understand how important it is to resist these mandates across the board? You cannot let one mandate stand. Even if you're okay with that one, I don't care if it's masks or anything else. You let one mandate in. And that is now the new bar. Mandated shots, mandated boosters, mandated pills, all with their own unique dangers. This is the path we're on unless you get involved and get involved now. Yeah. What is it good for? Absolutely. Nothing. Uh-huh. Yeah. What is it good for? Absolutely. Nothing. Say it again, y'all. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Friday. So every Friday at 10 o'clock, we have here on this show, False Flag Friday, where I try to deprogram the typical conservative that was drugged by the nose into supporting endless war as some kind of an example of, air quotes here in the studio, American leadership, of projecting American power, when these wars have actually made us weaker, particularly financially. Essentially, they have bankrupted us, much like the Soviet Union was banked, and it has certainly not made us safer. I've played the clip before of the I can't remember who it was, one of the big commanders in Afghanistan at one point, who said, you know, the math is this. When it comes to terrorists, if you drop a bomb and you kill five terrorists, what it said, you have 10 terrorists and you drop a bomb and you kill nine of them, how many terrorists do you have left? And the answer, they said, one? He said, no, you've got 20. Because now for the nine that you killed, every one of their brothers or their fathers or their sisters or somebody else now will take up the cause. And you actually, the more terrorists you kill, the more that you create when you drop bombs on their heads. I'm trying to deprogram the conservative because I was with you. And it took a while to get me to wake up too, to these endless wars. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. I got a couple of quotes of the day. This is by Arundhati Roy. Says, once weapons were manufactured to fight wars, now wars are manufactured to sell weapons. That's powerful. And it's dead on. The great Ron Paul said, It is no coincidence that the century of total war coincided with the century of central banking. Yeah, that's not a coincidence. It's all about the Benjamins. This is a piece that I ran across just this morning that just fits so well into this narrative. And look, I make no apologies. I don't sugarcoat it. I am anti-war because I understand what wars largely are. I'm pro-self-defense. I want us to have a great, professional, proficient military. Should anybody mess with the United States, unleash hell on them. I'm no pacifist. But these endless foreign wars have nothing to do with our safety or our security. They have everything to do with profits. And this was written by Charles Sam Faddis. And a headline of his piece is, it's all about the money. Why the military-industrial complex continues to bilk the American public. The piece is much longer than what I will read, but he gets to it here. We've just had this withdrawal from Afghanistan, a disaster, certainly. People pointing the fingers at Joe Biden, deservedly. But you're letting everybody off the hook for the past 20 years that made Afghanistan a disaster in the first place. This is what the author, Sam Faddis, says. All over America, people are dealing with the fallout from Afghanistan. They are wondering what it was all about. They're thinking of lost loved ones, shattered lives, and mangled bodies, and thinking, never again. We are collectively awash in a powerful mix of emotions, regret, anger, and grief. Not so in the halls of power, where the uniformed bureaucrats and the leaders of the most powerful defense contractors on the planet decide the fate of young men and women who aspire to serve their nation and protect their fellow citizens. You may think that the lessons learned from Afghanistan is never again. They don't think any such thing. Afghanistan was a bonanza for American defense contractors. If you purchased $10,000 worth of stock on one of the top defense contractors right after 9/11 and held on to it, you would be looking at close to $100,000 today. That is a much greater return on investment than you would have had realized from investments in the market as a whole. In fact, during the Afghanistan war, defense stocks outperformed the stock market overall by 58%. You think we failed in Afghanistan. From the perspective of the boards of directors of the nation's biggest defense contractors, which are full of retired senior military officers, the Afghanistan war was a massive success. They made a, quote, killing. The United States of America spent $2.6 trillion in Afghanistan. A massive proportion of that money went straight into the coffers of defense contractors who fundamentally don't care whether we won or lost or even knew what we were doing. They will build you a runway on the dark side of the moon for the right price. He goes on to say, and I'll just add this last little part, the spending in Afghanistan was only a small piece of a broader, air quotes here in the studio, war on terror effort. U.S. military has spent over $14 trillion since 9/11. Half of that has gone to defense contractors. And I got to tell you, when I go back and look at the Republicans, when I was a Kool-Aid drinking, warmongering neocon Republican, I think of the Republicans that duped me into that line of thinking. that we needed to, air quotes here in the studio, exercise domination around the world. This is all about power and profit. Today is the 20th anniversary of us going into Afghanistan. You can blame Joe Biden all you want to for that withdrawal. He's obviously mentally incompetent. He really didn't have anything to do with the withdrawal. There's all kinds of people to blame for this, but there's also people to blame for the last 20 years. And I mean every one of them. Even Donald Trump had the opportunity for 4 years to get us out of there. I have no tolerance for the backseat driving of Donald Trump or any of his supporters who say, oh, Trump never would have let that happen. Well, he could have proven that to us by actually getting us out of Afghanistan himself, and he should have done it within the first 6 months of his administration back in 2017. Strange that he didn't. Strange that he didn't do it even in his last year when he knew there was no good withdrawal. He knew that the government of the Afghanistan was going to fall and the Taliban were going to do exactly what they did under Joe Biden. He knew that was going to happen. He didn't want that in an election year, so he kept us committed for another 12 months during an election year. And of course, Obama and the surge and George W. Bush for sending us there in the first place, and all the defense secretaries and all the ambassadors and all of the Congress critters who supported endless funding for this and prompted surges. There is so much blame to go around for this. It sickens me to think that the Republicans that I listened to back in the 1990s and right around the year 2000, and particularly in 2001, that they tricked me that badly and turned me into a bloodthirsty little horrible thing. I hope that this is waking up Republicans the same way the vaccine issue is waking up normal parents. I'll be right back. All right, we are back. Had a caller during the break, just one of the greatest questions ever, and I encouraged him to call another time. I've got stuff I need to move on to right now. But his question was, well, you know, you talk about not building this empire, not being all over the world. You know, we've got 800 military bases spanned across 120, 140 countries, 160 countries. I can't keep up. Even our own Congress doesn't know where our troops are. And it's just been the last couple of years you'd hear of military casualties we've taken in a country. And you will hear members of Congress go, we have troops in Niger? Really? I mean, nobody even has any idea where all we are. They have no idea what we're spending money on. The Pentagon cannot account for somewhere between $8 and $21 trillion. That's with a T, trillion dollars. But the caller's question was, well, when do you use the military? When do you use American military supremacy? And there would be reasons to use it. And that's probably worth maybe an entire foreign policy false flag Friday segment, because I think that's a very legitimate question, because there's a lot of, you know, there's nuance to that. And maybe my take could be that we need to be this isolationist power and disband our military, and that I think we can all just hold hands and sing Kumbaya and everybody will love us. I'm not under that misapprehension. I just know that empires fail. We can't afford what we're doing. It's not getting us the results we want. It is much like a lot of these other things. They're telling you right now, you've got to take a shot. That's the only way we control this pandemic, right? And most people know that's absolutely ridiculous. It's the exact same logic that goes in. We have got to have 800 military bases around the world. We have got to be calling the shots. We have got to be doing this and got to be doing that, or the world will just erupt into flames. Look, if we disengaged from areas, there would be certain countries that would attack other countries, and it is up to their neighborhood to take care of that. That is life in the big city. We can't afford it, and we're obviously not successful at it. The Taliban is running Afghanistan right now. They took it back in 48 hours. We were there 20 years training an Afghan army, fighting the Taliban, and they took the country back in 48 hours. It doesn't work. What we do does not work. And it is the same hysteria about vaccines, that we just have to do something. This is the best tool we've got. The foreign policy hawks will tell you, we have to be in charge of the world or everything would be complete chaos. It's just simply not true. Also, they say that, you know, where goods cross borders, armies do not. America could be such a shining example of commerce with countries and the fact we would be so much more financially strong if we were not trying to build an empire. It just goes on and on and on. But anyway, it's a fantastic topic. Well, I'm going to have to figure out a way to get a show specifically about that. I did want to mention this, too, because speaking of the war drums banging, a lot going on with China right now. China's been flying jets over Taiwanese airspace, record numbers, apparently. And so a lot of people are very nervous that there's going to be a move on Taiwan. I'm suspicious that, you know, the Chinese are they're horrible. They are a dictatorship. They are what they are, a brutal communist regime. And they lay claim within their own minds to Taiwan, and Taiwan does not want them. God love Taiwan, that little island nation that is built up to be a manufacturing powerhouse right off the shores of China, and they're fighting for their freedom. God love them. And they should have their freedom. But this idea that we need to face off with China, I got to tell you, this is a story. The CIA on Thursday confirmed it has established a new mission center focused on China after a major review that had been ordered earlier in the year by CIA Director Bill Burns. A new statement issued by Director Burns said the new China Mission Center will further strengthen our collective work on the most important geopolitical threat we face in the 21st century, an increasingly adversarial Chinese government. And this is, let me just tell you, when the CIA comes together like this and says, oh, yeah, look, this is the biggest threat we face, I'm telling you, they are focusing you away from the biggest threats that each and every one of us Americans face, which is within our own borders from our own government. China didn't close down a church this past year. You can say, oh, they released the virus. We all know that had Anthony Fauci and apparently Francis Townsend, the director of the NIH's fingerprints all over it. I don't think this was a Chinese-made bioweapon in secret that was unleashed on the world and only China benefits from it. Look, I've got no love lost for China. I hope the Chinese people rise up and overthrow this communist dictatorship. At some point, they will. The Chinese government is a basket case. Their finances are just about as bad as ours, maybe worse. Have patience. They will collapse. Communism never works. But for people, again, to focus everybody on China and ignore what's going on in the United States, it's actually, you know, the empire that we have built, it's this kind of warmongering that is actually the biggest threat to our futures rather than China. China can't get across these oceans. China's not going to come take our stuff. But the CIA is involved, so be on the lookout, because they're certainly going to continue to foment this, to direct attention to China. And when big collapses happen, financial collapses, a lot of people within countries, and it would be the same case here in the United States, if we run into the financial collapse that many people are very concerned about, right? We know where our debt is. We know that the markets are in a bubble, that housing is in a bubble, that the bond market is in about a 35-year bubble right now. When these things do collapse, and they will, the Federal Reserve is endlessly printing money. If we end up having a currency crisis here, one of the big go-tos for the people in power to stop the people from actually rising up and overthrowing the people that caused the collapse in the first place, hello, Federal Reserve, they start a war. And the bigger the collapse, the bigger the war they try to kick off. And that may be what they do with China. I have a piece here. I don't know if I have time to get into this. I'm not going to take time. I've got a lot of clips to play in this week on the crazy train, but it's a great piece I need to deconstruct and put together to talk about, because it is about how it is actually the neocons who were perpetuating these wars. Some of the original neocons back in the 50s and 60s, do you know where they came from? What their line of thinking was? These are the neocons that have really controlled the Republican Party for a long time. They convinced me to be a neocon, warmongering, empire-building American. But these neocons actually come from being Trotskyites. They are no free market capitalist people. And it's really a very fascinating story when you realize the origins of even this neoconservatism. And that does not mean only Republicans. Hillary Clinton is a neocon when it comes to, you know, foreign policy things. She laughed when Gaddafi was murdered in the streets, sodomized to death. She did her famous, "We came, we saw," what was it? "We came, we saw, he died." She's a psychopath. And if you realize that these people who created this empire for the United States and all of the power that it's gotten and the fact you're seeing it turned in on the American people as parents are labeled domestic terrorists now, when you stop and you realize and you look at the core of this stuff and you realize it has nothing to do with freedom or free markets or national security, these were control freaks who wanted to build this empire of total control. That's what started the neocons. I'll definitely, the more I talk about it, the more interesting I know it is. I'll pull that apart when I have a little bit more time and we'll trace back the history of the neocons. The people that have convinced, the people that Sean Hannity has on his show endlessly as he tries to sell you on every single military involvement we have while wearing at least two CIA lapel pins, Sean Hannity does. Has anybody identified the third lapel pin? Please, somebody, get a clip of Sean Hannity in a magnifying glass. I cannot figure out what that third lapel pin is. It's bugging me. All right, that's all we got for that today. We'll come back in just a second. We'll start with This Week on the Crazy Train. Stay with me.
What's a frequency can at the shop in the train?
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I've got to do this. I'm breaking a cardinal rule of the Mike Madison Show, which is my clear defining segments that I do each week. And I'm going to go back to the False Flag Friday. I started talking about the origins of neocons. And certainly one of them that conservatives fell in love with was Henry Kissinger. This should be a big surprise to people. Henry Kissinger and his former pupil, Klaus Schwab. That's right. That's Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum. You know, the guy behind the Great Reset. He was a pupil of Henry Kissinger. To get a better idea of the kinds of influences Sir Henry Kissinger had on young Klaus Schwab, we should take a look at Kissinger's infamous NSSM 200 report titled Implications of Worldwide Population Growth for U.S. Security and Overseas Interest. Kissinger wanted to transform U.S. foreign policy from pro-development, pro-industry to the promotion of underdevelopment through totalitarian methods in support of population control. Here's part of Henry Kissinger's presentation. If future numbers are to be kept within reasonable bounds, it is urgent that measures to reduce fertility be started and made effective in the 1970s and 1980s. There is an alternative view, he goes on to say, that mandatory programs may be needed. So, see, Henry Kissinger and Klaus Schwab are the same people. Those connections are never made except for good researchers. I definitely will do a segment on this. It'll probably be on next Friday's show. I mean, when you realize where these neocons are actually coming from, you think that it's about national security and protecting you, and you realize what they're really about, I got to tell you, it's aggravating. It's going to make you angry that you fell for it. It certainly did me. Anyway, we move on here with This Week on the Crazy Train. All right, we're going to start with, we just have to start with COVID stuff because that is where the large number of the most crazy things are taking place right now. And we're certainly going to get, I've got a bunch of Biden clips today, I think. The man is just, he is rambling incoherently. The media, how do they sleep at night? How can they go to bed? How do they look themselves in the mirror covering up for that man? Dr. Fauci leading the charge of more of his insanity.
There are two new studies out that show COVID's gotten better at transmitting through aerosols, just through the air. What does that mean? We're going.
That means that masks are completely useless. I don't think that's what Fauci will say, though.
Going into cold weather, we're going into the holidays. Do people need to start looking around and saying it's just too risky to gather with family members if they're unvaccinated?
Run away! Run away!
Children.
Well, Margaret, I believe just the way the CDC has recommended that when you are in a situation where you have a dynamics of virus in the community where there's clearly a lot of spread, even if you are vaccinated and you are in an indoor setting, a congregate setting, it just makes sense to wear a mask.
I'm sorry. I'm just finding myself laughing at this now. It makes no sense to wear a mask. She just said, this thing's gotten more aerosolized. This is exactly the argument against masks. Masks are for spittle. If you've got a friend that is constantly coming up to you and saying something along the lines of fucker and fuckatash, then you might want to put a mask on. Other than that, ditch the ridiculous mask.
And to avoid high-risk situations. And what we should be doing is look at ventilation in indoor places. We know now that this is clearly spread by aerosol. And when you have something spread by aerosol, you absolutely want more ventilation, which is the reason why outdoors is always much safer than indoors. And if you are indoors,
unless it's the Sturgis motorcycle rally, unless it's a college football game, unless it's a conservative rally, those are all dangerous.
Ventilation is going to be key, and that's the reason why we really should be paying attention to that.
Yeah, it's a good thing you told everybody to put up those big plexiglass barriers all over the place that stopped ventilation from moving about a room, isn't it there, Anthony Fauci? He did have this recommendation, too. I have a friend who's all gung-ho about Christmas. She knows who she is. I had to tell her she needs to just slow her roll a little bit because Anthony Fauci, the CDC is putting together a list of naughty and nice practices for Christmas. So don't make any plans until the CDC tells you what you can and cannot do.
But we can gather for Christmas, or it's just too soon to tell?
You know, Margaret, it's just too soon to tell. We've just got to concentrating on continuing to get those numbers down and not try to jump ahead by weeks or months and say what we're going to do at a particular time. Let's focus like a laser on continuing to get those cases down.
There'll be time for holiday cheer later. Right now, laser-like focus on getting those cases down. Here's the CDC. They're getting ready. With bated breath, we should all await. Planning our holidays around CDC guidance.
There's confusion tonight over CDC guidance for safely celebrating the holidays. On Friday, the CDC says it performed an update to the page where the holiday guidance was listed, but now says it was a technical update, but doesn't reflect the CDC's guidance ahead of this upcoming holiday season. The page has since been removed entirely while the agency prepares new guidance.
There you go. Just so sit back and wait, make no plans. The CDC will let you. I mean, are there seriously people that are sitting around? Look, mom, dad, nana, pop, we'll let you know how our Christmas and our Thanksgiving will roll out as soon as we get our guidance from the CDC. I am fearful that there are actually people like that out there. Certainly the media is going to tell us that's the way. Let's see what else I want to get to here. I have this titled, Listen to These Psychopaths! This is on my show notes. Let's see what this is. Oh, this is Fauci talking about vaccines. This is from a while ago, before COVID came about. Let's see what he had to say. Some of these clips I clip, keep them in a an archive type thing and roll them out. And sometimes I forget what they are. Let's hear all together.
Why don't we blow the system up? I mean, obviously, we can't just turn off the spigot on the system we have and then say, hey, everyone in the world should get this new vaccine we haven't given to anyone yet. But there must be some way that we grow vaccines mostly in eggs the way we did in 1947.
In order to make the transition from getting out of the tried and true egg growing, which we know gives us results that can be, you know, beneficial. I mean, we've done well with that, to something that has to be much better. You have to prove that this works, and then you've got to go through all of the...
Now, I want you to listen to this. I'm remembering this clip now. I want you to hear what the safety profile of a vaccine, what the testing is supposed to involve. This is from Anthony Fauci's mouth, but this was before Operation Warp Speed. I want you to listen to what he says has to happen when you have when you bring a vaccine to market.
You have to prove that this works, and then you've got to go through all of the clinical trials, phase ones, phase twos, phase three, and then show that this particular product is going to be good over a period of years.
Years. Huh. This might have been even back in, it was back in 2019 he made this speech. Isn't that interesting how I guess the science changed? You don't need years to study a vaccine anymore. You just, a couple of months, roll it out, jab it in everybody.
That alone, if it works perfectly, is going to take a decade.
There might be a need.
How about that? Yeah, so if everything works perfectly with a vaccine, this is what he said in 2019, if everything works perfectly, it takes about a decade to get a vaccine out. and we're not supposed to be hesitant. You should be hesitant. There's a doctor in the UK that has said we are actually doing these vaccines all wrong. Just not even what they are, but how they're being administered. And he explains why.
Because I'm just at a loss at what to do about this. And I think it's really important. I'm going to give evidence that we should be aspirating the needle before we give the injections. Basically, I think that most people in the UK and the United States are giving the vaccine injections wrongly. Now, what you should do when you're sticking a needle into a muscle, because it has to be an intramuscular injection, so the needle's not that quite big on the vaccine, but you stick it in, then you should hold it like that. And then what I always do is I draw back. And if you draw back blood, you know you're in a vessel, so you would pull it out and change the needle and get a different site. But that's not being done. So this is what can happen. So imagine you're giving the needle, you stick it into the muscle. So if you draw back and you're in the muscle, then no blood will come out. But if you're in a blood vessel, then you draw back and there you go. You know straight away you're in a blood vessel and you know not to inject it, because you would then be giving this intravenously. That would be going straight into a vein, not into the muscle where it is supposed to go. So we're doing this wrong.
How about that? And this is what they're seeing. I believe the number was around 67%. They thought that this that these mRNA vaccines would stay in your shoulder. And they're finding at about two-thirds, 67, 68%, something like that, they're finding that these things are just going all through the body. Well, there it is right there. They're not injecting it directly into the muscle. Sometimes they are injecting this thing. Apparently, about two-thirds of the time, they're injecting this thing directly into your bloodstream, which is taking these mRNA things into every organ of your body and telling those cells in those organs to create spike proteins. And this is the big danger that scientists have been warning about. I played a little bit of this earlier. As I said, I mean, talk about this week on the crazy train. So we have a population around the world that is not susceptible to serious COVID. They're called children. Yet that's not going to stop them from rolling out these shots on kids.
I want to pick up with you where I left off with.
Sorry, again, this is former Trump FDA head and now current Pfizer board member Scott Gottlieb.
Governor Justice, which was on this question of vaccine mandates for children. He didn't like the comparison of the COVID-19 vaccine to all the other vaccines he mandates as a governor. Measles, mumps, rubella, tetanus, polio. Should it be considered different?
It's a brand new technology that's never been used before and has no long-term safety profile on children. I'd say that's different.
Well, I think it's inevitable that the COVID vaccine is going to be incorporated into the childhood immunization schedule.
Because we own the Congress, we own the state legislatures, and we'll make damn sure that it gets added.
CDC ultimately has to take that up. My guess is they're not going to take that up until you have fully approved vaccines for children, until you have more than one vaccine in the market available to kids. So that might be more of a fall 2021, 2022 type of event.
Yeah, they're coming for the kids. Let's see what else we have. Oh, the hypochondria, the hysteria is metastasizing. So it's not just COVID that we need to all be scared of. They're going to bring back an old favorite.
This week, CDC has started collecting data for our full weekly influenza surveillance report.
This is the lying Walensky, our CDC director.
Which we will start publishing online beginning on October 15th and continue throughout the flu season. Each week, we publish comprehensive data on outpatient influenza-like illness, laboratory-confirmed hospitalizations, and influenza-related deaths. Last year, there were very few flu cases, largely because of masking and physical distancing and other prevention measures put in place for the COVID-19 pandemic.
I mean, this logic is lost on me, and I think I've asked every medical professional I know, how is it possible if you have two viruses, one influenza, one COVID coronavirus, how is it possible that the mitigation efforts worked for one of the viruses, the flu virus, the influenza virus, but it didn't work for the COVID virus? I mean, quite obviously, many COVID cases are not actually COVID cases. They were flu cases. That is most obviously the most simple explanation for why flu disappeared. But they are continuing to tell us that these masks somehow block the flu, but they don't block coronavirus. That social distancing has been effective against the flu, but not against coronavirus. Does this make any logical sense to anybody?
With modest flu virus activity since March of 2020, CDC's flu experts are concerned that reduced population level immunity to the seasonal flu could place us at risk for a potentially severe flu season this year.
Here we go.
The symptoms of flu can often be similar to those with COVID-19, which can lead to additional needs for flu and COVID testing and isolation for either of the diseases, especially in schools.
And they are going to start quarantining your kids and contact tracing your kids for the flu now.
Even as average daily COVID hospitalizations are decreasing, we continue to see many hospitals and intensive care units across the country at full capacity.
Yeah, because of other diseases. And the only thing she may be right about in there is that we have destroyed our immune systems with this living in this uber bubble of hand sanitizer and Clorox wipes and keeping ourselves away from other human beings and wearing gloves. I mean, I have called for it for a while as 2021 being rise of the superbug. We've seen some headlines to that effect already. Of course, that's not stopping. None of these things are stopping what's coming through as far as people's employment and these ridiculous shots.
New York City's mandate requiring all public school employees be vaccinated took effect today. And the mayor here says 95% of full-time employees have received at least one shot. And the state's largest health care provider, Northwell Health, said today 100% of their employees are now vaccinated after they fired 1,400 employees who had refused to get the vaccine.
Well, I guess that's one way to get you to 100% vaccination status. Just fire all the people who don't matter. Just threw these people out in the streets because they would not take this jab. And then there's this lovely one. You know, the hits just keep on coming with these things.
While COVID cases and hospitalizations decline nationwide, the demand for at-home tests is surging. But today, a company that manufactures some of these test kits, Illume, recalled nearly 200,000 due to concerns over false positives. The kits were widely available to consumers and also provided to the U.S. Department of Defense.
So, false positives. That is the false positives could be the motto of the past 18 months. When I come back, we'll start listening to our so eloquent leader, Joseph Biden. Stay with me.
This is Captain America calling. I bailed you out when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final segment for today. Today's show somehow flew by. I can't believe. I was looking at my notes thinking, oh my gosh, this is about over. I guess I got to get everything in there. Before I do anything else, though, I want to pass along the best piece of advice I can give you, which is to make sure this weekend, as you were trying to find good activities to do, get out and grab a bite to eat and relax. We always here at WYAB recommend you head out to Your Pie in Gluckstadt. They are at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway, right there by Germantown High School. Weather's nice. I love their. They've got a little deck out there, but they've also got plenty of televisions. They've got football games on both Saturday and Sunday. It's fantastic food. 10-inch brick oven fired pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, gelato. They've got brownies, beer, wine, whatever you like. It's a great family place, great place to take a date, or a great place to go pick up some food. So check out Your Pie. Make sure you download their app where you'll get all kinds of points for goodies and discounts and all kinds of stuff. So go to the App Store and download the Your Pie app and check them out. Please make sure that you tell them that WYAB and Mike Madison sent you. They'll treat you extra good. All right, let's listen to our fearless leader here. I think they're going to need to start coming up with a new drug cocktail for Joe Biden. I think like everything, it starts to wear off. Biden's building up a tolerance to whatever amphetamine cocktail they've been giving him, and his brain is just—it needs more help.
And by the way, parenthetically, when you build a charging station, it's like back in the day when my grandpa worked for the American Oil Company back in the turn of the 1920 in that area. They went from state to state convincing people that they allowed them to put 20,000 gallons of gasoline under the ground. They didn't want them around. But guess what happened? Everything builds up around them. You put these charging stations along the highway, you're going to see a significant economic development go well beyond the charging station.
Oh, gosh, it's hard to listen to. I mean, holy cow, they should be ashamed of themselves putting it out there. I found that clip interesting, not only because he stumbles and mumbles his way through large portions of it, but it's also interesting, where are the green people? Where are the environmentalists? Because Joe Biden has just implicated his own family. His pop-pop, what did he call him? Grandpop? Actually put in a bunch of gas stations and put them into communities that didn't want them. I'm going to play that clip again. His grandfather went into communities that did not want gasoline underground. You know gasoline, right? That CO2 creating, emitting toxic fuel they're so scared of and they want to take us out off of. Turns out the Biden family was behind it in the first place. Listen to him take credit for it in his mumble stumble way.
And by the way, parenthetically, when you build a charging station, it's like back in the day when my grandpa worked for the Maryland Canola Company back in the turn of the 1920 in that area.
Come on, get there, Joe.
They went from state to state convincing people that they allowed them to put 20,000 gallons of gasoline under the ground. They didn't want them around. But guess what happened? Everything builds up around them.
Joe Biden destroyed the planet. Pop-pop destroyed the planet. He went on to talk about women in the workplace. I had something I wanted to mention about this.
Gave us the best educated, best prepared workforce in the world. That was one of the reasons why America began to grow so rapidly. It's ridiculous. My Build Back Better plan gets us back on track. You know where we are today? 23. 22 countries have a higher percentage of their women in the workforce making a competitive wage than the United States. While the competitors are investing in the care economy, we're standing still. And the fact is, millions of American parents are feeling the squeeze, and at the same time in this sandwich generation. Well, guess what? If you're making $15 an hour, you don't have any taxes to pay like that. So guess what? You got nothing.
So guess what?
Zero.
Yeah, I'm actually running out of time, but, you know, this idea of women in the workplace, I mean, I don't know. Were we not better off when at least one parent, I don't want to be sexist and say it's women, if I were a woman, I kind of like the idea of a woman saying, you know, I'd like to stay home and raise my children. That kind of feels like a mom thing to do. It's okay in the go-go 2020s if the man wants to stay home. I was a very involved dad, loved hanging out with my kids. But this idea that it's some kind of level of success to get more women into the workplace, I mean, I just resist that completely. And I would imagine there's a whole lot of women that really would prefer to maybe stay home and be with their children and help raise them than be sitting in a cubicle all day. It was so funny to me that, you know, the Democrats, they really want to get these moms out of the house and into a cubicle. And for some reason on the left, that's some kind of a success. And one of the reasons people have to do that is because of the taxation that the Democrats push.
The significant portion of the major corporations in America and the super wealthy. When they supported me. Look, it's not time to deliver.
That's a man who just completely lost his place and doesn't know what he's doing. It's really quite amazing. Let's see. Oh, I have a John Kerry. I'm running a little short on time. I guess I'll just go ahead and get to this story. This is the most insane thing I've seen this week for sure. I don't know if you saw this story. Playboy celebrates their first ever male cover model, Bretman Rock. A huge deal for the LGBT community. Playboy has now got a dude on the cover wearing the bunny ears and the bunny tail. And should you have the unfortunate, I mean, I almost want you to go watch this thing. It is so bizarre and insane. It's a great way to wrap up this week on the crazy train. Go check out the video they put out of the new cover dude for Playboy. I got to tell you, the fall of Playboy may signal the fall of America. Absolutely insane. Anyway, have a fantastic weekend. Go to the rally. See you there.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.